Well, we've been talking about learning to be freed people. We lived in a broken world. We, all of us, are aware of it, painfully for the most part. And we're so glad that we've been able to escape that broken world as we put on Christ and we begin to be his people. But learning to live like freed people is hard because, well, we learned how to live in a broken world. And the things that happen in a broken world just don't translate to our life anymore. So we've been talking about learning to be freed people. And one of the real advantages that we have as freed people is that we're freed to be able to bear one another's burdens. Galatians, the fifth chapter, beginning at about verse 25, the apostle says this, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard this morning. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit as well. Let's not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Brothers and sisters, even if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you're not tempted as well. Bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one must examine his own work, and then he'll have reason for boasting, but to himself alone, not to another. Each one will bear his own load. Learning to bear one another's burdens it's not an easy thing. We'll be talking about this for the next couple of weeks. I was talking with Kim about this idea of being freed to bear one another's burdens, and she said, are you going to talk about being freed to let other people bear your burdens? And so we'll get there. Don't fret, we'll get there. But this morning, I just want you to be aware that every one of us bears some burden. It's not like some people bear burdens and other people don't. Matthew Henry had this to say. This is a quotation from his commentary on Galatians, the fifth chapter. He said, the better we know our own burdens and our own faults, our own heart and our ways, the less shall we despise others, the more disposed to help them who are in infirmities and afflictions. And you know, I think that makes a lot of sense. The better we know ourselves, the more capable we are of identifying with other people who are bearing burdens that are just like the burdens that we bear. It's tempting to falsely perceive ourselves as being above having burdens, to falsely perceive ourselves as wiser or better or more capable than all of the people that are around us. Others bear heavy burdens. We don't have to because we're special people, right? Well, since we're not like them, we could argue that we get to tell them how they're supposed to live. And we get to tell them what they're supposed to be doing. You know, that's not the case. Everybody bears burdens. I think about Job in the Old Testament. Job's a righteous man. An awful lot of things happened to Job. He lost all of his possessions. He lost his family. He lost everything that he valued. He didn't lose his wife. But he winds up sitting in ashes, because that's the only place he could get some kind of relief. And he has three friends that come to him, and they're going to comfort him. They're going to help him get through this. And one of those friends, so-called friends, is a man named Zophar. And Zophar had this to say to Job in the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 13. If you would direct your heart rightly and spread out your hands to him, to God, of course, if wrongdoing is in your hand, put it far away. Do not let malice dwell in your tents. Then indeed you could lift up your face without moral blemish, and you would be firmly established, and you would not be in fear. You would forget your trouble like waters that have passed by. You would not remember it. Your life would be brighter than noonday. Darkness would be like the morning. Then you would trust because there's hope, and you could look around and rest securely. You would lie down and none would disturb you, and many would flatter you, but the eyes of the wicked will fail. There'll be no escape for them. Their hope is to breathe their last. Zophar does not identify with Job. Zophar knows he's better than Job. And because he's better than Job, he gets to tell Job what he's supposed to do. And of course, if you continue reading in this book, you eventually run into a fellow by the name of Eliphaz. And Eliphaz says, you know, I'm a young man, and I thought old men had wisdom, so I decided I would sit and listen to Zophar. And he didn't do Job a bit of good. Job recognized that too, that you're not going to get through burdens in life with friends like Zophar and the two others who came and thought they were going to comfort Job. You get through the difficulties of this life when you understand that everyone bears burdens. In the 9th chapter of the book of John, the apostles were with Jesus. He's during his personal ministry. He encounters a man who was blind from his birth. Now, Jesus eventually heals that man. But I want you to focus on the statement that the apostles made when they met this man. They asked Jesus a question. They said, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents that he was born blind? You see, we're not like that. We're not blind. So we're better than him. They didn't identify with that blind man. Jesus did, of course, and we'll talk about what that means as we continue our discussion. But at this point, I want you to understand that we can't stand apart from other people who are bearing burdens and think, I'm not like that. I don't have to bear burdens. You know, burdens happen. Sometimes burdens happen because of sin. Now, I've talked about Zophar and what Zophar had to say to Job and how it wasn't particularly helpful at that point for Zophar to be saying that. And I've talked about the apostles and how they questioned Jesus about the man that was born blind. It is true that sin brings burdens. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, that the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, godliness actually is a means of great gain when it's accompanied by contentment. We brought nothing into the world. We cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we should be content. Those who want to get rich fall into a temptation and a trap and many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men to ruin and destruction. The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith, and they pierced themselves through with many griefs. If you choose to live a life apart from God, it's a hard life. Sin produces a lot of burdens. And we're familiar with that. We know about that. If you murder, you will deal with the fact that you have murdered. If you sin and choose that life, you will have burdens. It's undeniable. And, you know, it's even true that burdens sometimes persist after we're forgiven. People still live with the consequences of their action. They don't live with the condemnation that comes because of sin. That's something that Jesus takes care of. They don't live with the consequences in terms of their conscience. That's something that Jesus takes care of. But yeah, when you sin, you start in motion a series of events that creates burdens. And sin, in many ways, is like water that's spilled out on the ground. You can't gather it up. You can't be rid of it. It's like a man who takes a feather pillow and rips it open and then spreads the feathers to the wind. Once you do that, you'll never get the feathers back into the pillowcase. So sin produces burdens. We're aware of that. But you know, that's not the only thing that produces burdens. There's a burden of calamity. You know, in Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning at about verse 1, I noted verse 4 on the overhead there. But you need to really begin reading at about verse 1. This is, again, during Jesus' personal ministry. On that occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. I don't know who that was, but it was obvious that there were a group of Galileans that Pilate had killed. And those people that lived then were absolutely aware of that. Jesus responded. He said to them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans just because they suffered this fate?" See, that's the mistake that we make when we acknowledge that sin creates burdens, but we think that the only way that burdens ever happen is because of sin. And Jesus says, no, that's not the case. I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Do you think that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them? Again, I don't know who those were, but the people that Jesus was talking to obviously know who those people are. He says, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the other people who live in Jerusalem? No. I tell you, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Calamity befalls us. That's just part of living in a broken world. When I talk about calamity that befalls us, I'm not talking about people that bring calamity on themselves. In 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, beginning at about verse 6, again, I noted verse 10 on the PowerPoint, but beginning at about verse 6, the apostle says, "We command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother or sister who leads a disorderly life, one that's not in accordance with the tradition that you received from us. You yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined way among you, nor did we eat any man's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to do this, but in order to offer ourselves as a role model for you that you would follow our example. Even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he's not to eat either. We hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now we command and exhort such persons in the Lord Jesus Christ to work peacefully and to eat their own bread. As for you, brothers and sisters, don't grow weary in doing good. Now there are a couple of things that you need to see in that passage. The first is some people just continue to live an undisciplined life and they bring calamity upon themselves. They don't eat because they don't work. And then he says to the Christians, you know that that's the case. Don't become weary in well-doing. I have to tell a story about myself. I was preaching in Brookings. I was just a young man. Wasn't very bright. And the building that we rented was right on Highway 101 in Brookings. 722 Chetco Avenue. If you go through town, that building's still standing there. It's no longer a church building. But anyway, we rented that. Had big picture windows on the front of the building, and my office was in the lobby of the building. We didn't have a very big place. So I was sitting there one day, and a fella came through town, stopped at the building, and he said, I've got my baby and my wife with me, and we don't have anything to eat. The baby is hungry. The baby is crying. Could you help us out? Well, I had $20 in my pocket. My habit was to always keep $20 in my pocket so that I could help somebody that needed help. Gave him the $20 and they left. Well, it wasn't too long after that that I needed to go to the post office. So I went out and got in the truck and drove to the post office. On the way, I passed by the car store. What grocery store was it? Anyway, Cars is in Alaska. Oops. Yeah, might have been McKay's. Anyway, I'm driving down the road, and as I pass by the market, here's this guy sitting out in front of the market with a six-pack of beer. He and his wife are drinking the beer, and the baby's just sitting there crying up a storm. That frustrated me. So I got out of my truck and I kept a double-bitted axe in the window of my truck because we heated our house with wood and I would chop wood all the time. And I jumped out of the truck, grabbed that axe, ran over to where this guy was sitting on the curb and started busting up beer with a double-bitted axe. I tell you that story just so you'll understand. I know what it's like to get frustrated when you try to help somebody. The police chief came up later. He was a guy that I knew because I worked on the ambulance and I had done a lot of work with him. He said, Dean, you can't be busting up beer in the parking lot at McKay's with a double-bitted axe. He said, that's a bad picture. I know how easy it is to get frustrated when you try to help somebody. When you're trying to bear burdens, you're trying to ease the burdens that people are feeling, and they continue to just live that undisciplined life. And the apostle says, you know, we're freed. We get to help. So don't be discouraged by what you see in a broken world. You can't conclude that just because someone is suffering calamity, they are a sinner. Now, the second thing that we need to understand about this passage is that when we bear one another's burdens, we're not going to solve them. And I've done a lot of reading about the difference between men and women. Men tend to be problem solvers. That's not universally true, but it's just something that I have noted about men. If there's a problem, men want to try to solve the problem. When there's a problem, women want to make it easier to bear. I can illustrate that, again, telling a story about myself. My daughter, when I was on the ambulance, went out to close the garage door, and she reached up with her fingers like that because she couldn't reach the handle, and she put them in between those panels on the garage door and pulled down like that. Well, when the garage door came down, you could imagine what happened. It pinched her fingers. It had all of her fingers. She's screaming up a storm. And I'm thinking, what do I have to do to relieve this problem? Shut up, Mandy. What do I have to do to relieve this problem? The crying, the screaming is not helping. Kim, on the other hand, showed up, and she understood what needed to be done, and she helped Mandy because she knew she was hurt. My approach, because I'm a guy, and it's just kind of the way that I'm built, my approach is I've got to solve the problem. Kim's approach was, I need to understand and help her. Now, there's nothing wrong with my approach in its entirety. We do need to be concerned about solving problems. But when he says to bear one another's burdens, the root meaning of those words is to come alongside and to help. Kim tells a story about a woman, great friend of ours, who lived in Spokane. And Kim was particularly bearing a burden at the time. She came up and she didn't try to solve the problem. She just held Kim and they cried together. That's what it means, in part, to bear another's burdens. So you're not always going to solve it. Sometimes you just need to come alongside and help. And then finally, we have to understand that burdens don't always result from sin. Burdens sometimes just happen because we live in a broken world and we have to interact with a broken world. In Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, love the book of Ecclesiastes, by the way. Great wisdom there. Beginning at verse 11. Wise man, after he had reflected on everything that was going on around him, said this. Again, I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the warriors, neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to the skillful. Because time and chance overtake them all. Indeed, a person does not know his time. Like fish that are caught in a treacherous net and birds that are caught in a snare, so the sons of man are ensnared in an evil time when it suddenly falls. We bear a lot of burdens. And as freed people in Jesus, we're able to help other people bear those burdens. That's a great blessing. It's a great blessing for us to be able to help people bear the burdens that they bear. And it's something that we have to learn to appreciate. Well, we'll continue talking about bearing one another's burdens, and we'll develop this idea further as we go through this series of lessons. But at this point, let's just understand that the burdens that we see around us are endemic. All of us bear burdens. Nolan's going to lead us in some thoughts about the Lord's Supper. And, of course, this is a celebration that we get to participate in because we put on Christ. We get to bear one another's burdens. We get to participate in the Lord's Supper. All of this is because we have put on Christ in baptism. What a great blessing it is. We always want you to know that if there's anything we can do to help you to escape the broken world and to come and live in the better world, we want you to let us know. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock. It doesn't matter when. Just let somebody know, and we'll help you to put on Christ in baptism.